Welcome to Morning Soap. At Fusion Church, our desire is to see everyone attend church and hear from God daily through His Word. The Bible reveals God's responses to various situations, and through daily devotions, we can reshape our thought patterns, transform our minds, and become more Christ-like. Join us here every Monday through Friday as different pastors and leaders from Fusion Church provide insightful devotions and teachings based on the day's scripture. For the current soap reading plan, visit fusionchurch.cc/soap and join us as we deepen our understanding and relationship with God.
Good morning, Fusion family, and welcome to Soap. Thank you for joining me and taking a look and diving in and seeking the Lord for one of the most famous chapters of the Bible. So let's open up in a prayer, and then we're going to be looking at John 3 in the Gospel of John. So let's pray. Oh, dear Heavenly Father, we just praise you and thank you for this new day, a gift that wasn't promised us, but the most beautiful gift that was promised us, Lord, is your love. So we thank you. We ask that you would give us supernatural insight into this very familiar chapter, Lord. So give us fresh revelation. Point out exactly what you want for each person. Lord, this was an overwhelming chapter just because it's so well known, but also there's so much in it. There's no way that we could cover it. So Lord, we're going to rely on you to know what you want each of us to know. And we're going to rely on you to provide each person with supernatural insight. Thank you, Lord, that we can pray all of these things in the powerful and difference maker name of Jesus. Amen. All right. Well, I have to confess that this was an intimidating chapter for me for two reasons. There's just so much in it. There's no way we're going to cover it all. So ask the Holy Spirit when this is done what he wants you to further study. And secondly, in some ways, it's so well known that we have to put aside our own understanding and seek the Lord for new revelation and a deeper insight into these beautiful words. So I'm going to be reading John chapter 3 in the NIV, the New International Version. And scripture reads, "Now there was a Pharisee, a man named Nicodemus, who was a member of the Jewish ruling council. He came to Jesus at night and said, 'Rabbi, we know that you are a teacher who has come from God, for no one could perform the signs you are doing if God were not with him.' Jesus replied, 'Very truly, I tell you, no one can see the kingdom of God unless they are born again.' 'How can someone be born when they are old?' Nicodemus asked. 'Surely they cannot enter a second time into their mother's womb to be born.' Jesus answered, 'Very truly, I tell you, no one can enter the kingdom of God unless they are born of water and the Spirit. Flesh gives birth to flesh, but the Spirit gives birth to spirit. You should not be surprised at my saying, you must be born again. The wind blows wherever it pleases. You hear its sound, but you cannot tell where it comes from or where it is going. So it is with everyone born of the Spirit.' 'How can this be?' Nicodemus asked. 'You are Israel's teacher,' said Jesus, 'and you do not understand these things? Very truly, I tell you, we speak of what we know, and we testify to what we have seen, but still you people do not accept our testimony. I have spoken to you of earthly things, and you do not believe. How then will you believe if I speak of heavenly things? No one has ever gone into heaven except the one who came from heaven, the Son of Man. Just as Moses lifted up the snake in the wilderness, so the Son of Man must be lifted up, that everyone who believes may have eternal life in him. For God so loved the world that he gave his one and only Son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish, but have eternal life. For God did not send his Son into the world to condemn the world, but to save the world through him. Whoever believes in him is not condemned, but whoever does not believe stands condemned already because they have not believed in the name of God's one and only Son. This is the verdict. Light has come into the world, but people loved darkness instead of light because their deeds were evil. Everyone who does evil hates the light and will not come into the light for fear that their deeds will be exposed. But whoever lives by the truth comes into the light so that it may be seen plainly that what they have done has been done in the sight of God. After this, Jesus and his disciples went out into the Judean countryside, where they spent some time with them and baptized. Now John also was baptizing at Anan near Salim because there was plenty of water and people were coming and being baptized. This was before John was put in prison. An argument developed between some of John's disciples and a certain Jew over the matter of ceremonial washing. They came to John and said to him, "Rabbi, that man who was with you on the other side of the Jordan, the one you testified about, look, he is baptizing and everyone is going to him." To this, John replied, "A person can receive only what is given them from heaven. You yourselves can testify that I said, I am not the Messiah, but am sent ahead of him. The bride belongs to the bridegroom. The friend who attends the bridegroom waits and listens for him and is full of joy when he hears the bridegroom's voice. That joy is mine, and it is now complete. He must become greater. I must become less. The one who comes from above is above all. The one who is from the earth belongs to the earth, and he speaks as one from the earth. The one who comes from heaven is above all. He testifies to what he has seen and heard, but no one accepts his testimony. Whoever has accepted it has certified that God is truthful. For the one whom God has sent speaks the words of God, for God gives the Spirit without limit. The Father loves the Son and has placed everything in his hands. Whoever believes in the Son has eternal life, but whoever rejects the Son will not see life, for God's wrath remains on them." Woo! The word of the Lord. I need to take a sip after that. Wow, what a packed chapter with amazing truth that points to the Lord's ability to empower us to be difference makers because of Jesus and only because of Jesus. In his gospel, John stresses the deity of Jesus. In John 3, the impact of Jesus, the Messiah, is revealed in the lives of both Nehemiah and John the Baptist, two amazing men, both with followers and influence in their own right. But we see how Jesus, the ultimate difference maker, touches their lives because of their curiosity, courage, humility, and faith, and then transforms them into godly difference makers. We first encounter Nehemiah in John 3. Who was this man that Jesus probably said the most well-known verse of the New Testament, John 3:16? Nicodemus was a Jew with a Greek name, and as I said, he was a difference maker with followers. Nike or as we say, Nike, means victory, and Deimos, like democracy, means people. So his name meant victory of the people. He was a Pharisee, a man of social standing. The word Pharisee means the separated ones. They saw themselves separated by God for his purposes and were committed, and some would say fanatical, in their service to God. Nicodemus was also a member of the Jewish ruling council, or the Sanhedrin, the highest authority of the land, the equivalent of our Supreme Court. Due to his high position, we can surmise that Nicodemus was wealthy, influential, and prominent. Nicodemus comes to Jesus at night, and one pastor I heard preach called him Nick at Night, most likely because of his position and social standing. Rick Renner in Sparkling Gems of the Greek shares that Nicodemus did not want people to know he was visiting with this man that the Sanhedrin considered to be a maverick and out of their control. But look what Nicodemus calls Jesus, Rabbi. Rick Reamer continues, the word itself means great, but it was used as a title of respect that was used only in reference to the great teachers of the law. For Nicodemus to call Jesus Rabbi was remarkable indeed. The Jewish leader would never have used that title unless he had already heard Jesus interpret the law and thereby judged his ability to do so. The fact that Nicodemus called Jesus by this privileged title, given only to those who were viewed as the greatest theologians in Israel, tells us that he was very impressed with Jesus' knowledge of the scriptures. Then Jesus is stated by Nicodemus that he is a teacher from God because of the miracles he has performed, as stated in the previous chapter, John 2. If you want to find out about those miracles that Nicodemus is referring to, read chapter 2 of John. Nicodemus was obviously curious himself and wanted to know more about this rabbi. He saw Jesus as an amazing teacher, could do miracles, and was a wonderful man, but at this point did not see that Jesus was and is God. Then follows one of the most famous conversations in the New Testament. The Believer's Bible Commentary states, our Lord is basically saying, Nicodemus, you have come to me for teaching, but what you really need is to be born again. That is where you must begin. You must be born from above. Otherwise, you will never see the kingdom of God. Did you notice that Jesus in this chapter, in this section with Nicodemus, says three times, very truly I tell you, emphasizing the importance of this truth. Nicodemus has a hard time accepting this, as he, as many other of the Jews, were looking for a kingdom and a Messiah that would free Israel from Rome. So he continues to question Jesus, and he has a very difficult time not taking Jesus literally. Did you also notice that the word born and birth is used eight times during this dialogue? Notes in my Life Application Bible state, Jesus revealed to this devout Pharisee that the kingdom will come to the whole world, not just the Jews, and that Nicodemus wouldn't be part of it unless he was personally born again. This was a revolutionary concept. The kingdom is personal, not national or ethnic, and its entrance requirements are repentance and spiritual rebirth. Jesus was explaining this spiritual rebirth to Nicodemus and saying that people don't enter the kingdom by living a better life, like the Pharisees were always trying to do and showing off, but by being spiritually reborn. Nicodemus undoubtedly would have been familiar with the Old Testament and especially with God's promise in Ezekiel 36, 25 and 26, which says, "I will sprinkle clean water on you and you will be clean. I will cleanse you from all your impurities and from all your idols. I will give you a new heart and put a new spirit in you. I will remove from you your heart of stone and give you a heart of flesh." But Nicodemus was having a hard time seeing that in Jesus as his reason for coming and for being. So we know this Jewish teacher, the teacher of Israel, knew the Old Testament very, very well, very thoroughly, but he didn't understand what it said about the Messiah. Knowledge is not salvation. Let me repeat that again. Knowledge is not salvation. I love when Nicodemus continues to question. He's looking for more knowledge, but also hopefully understanding. And he says, "How can a man be born when he is old?" It begs the question, where are we old, but not in age, old in our knowledge and traditions and understandings? Where do we need to expand our understanding of who the Messiah is? Where do we need to question? Where do we need to be renewed in order to allow Jesus to usher us into our destiny of being a difference maker for Jesus and empowered by Jesus in order to do that? The entire good news, the gospel, is summarized in verse 3:16. "For God so loved the world that he gave his one and only Son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish, but have eternal life." Once again, a note from the Life Application Bible brings clarity in how it relates to Nicodemus and the beginning of his understanding, which is still applicable to us today, because we all have to admit we have Nicodemus tendencies. We can all relate to him. The note says, "To believe is more than intellectual agreement that Jesus is God. It means to put our trust and confidence in him, that he alone can save us. It is to put Christ in charge of our present plans and eternal destiny. Believing is both trusting his words as reliable and relying on him for the power to change. If you have never trusted Christ, let this promise of everlasting life be yours and believe." That is the only way that you can truly step into your calling to be a difference maker. Pastor Brennan and Pastor Danielle have been preaching on this and encouraging us to step into that identity as being a Christ follower difference maker. And if you have never made that decision before in your life, today is the day. My visual aid is I went to a paint class. I am not artistic at all, have never done that before, really did not want to do that. But with the guidance of the teacher, I was able to create something that I never thought I could, only because of the guidance of the teacher. And my saying that I put on this was, "Darkness is just the absence of light." And here it is. I am not a painter at all. I am not a difference maker in painting, but with the guidance of the instructor and reading all of the directions, I was able to create this, which for me, that was something revolutionary in my life But what's even more revolutionary is the saying, darkness is just the absence of light. If we go back to verse 21, we're reminded, but whoever lives by the truth comes into the light. Nicodemus, Nick at night, he came at night in the darkness. We need to come into the light and expose everything. And the verse continues, so that it may be seen plainly that what we have done has been done in the sight of God. Those are the good things and the bad things. If you want to be a godly different maker, come, godly difference maker, come to the light. Bring your life to the light, the good and the bad. Allow the Holy Spirit to transform you. All right. And here we have, I wrote this, the Bible never states that Nicodemus becomes a disciple of Jesus. However, he comes to the light. He publicly demonstrates his faith by helping prepare Jesus's body for burial, suggesting that he did follow Jesus. And if you study the three different references of Nicodemus in the book of John, you see this beautiful transition that Jesus allows to come into Nicodemus's life, that he goes from knowledge to understanding to relationship. And that's the key. That's the key. Speaking of transition, in the book of John, we now transition from a secret follower to a very public follower, John the Baptist. In case you have any doubt or question, John the Baptist is not the Apostle John, the author of the book of John. John the Baptist was Jesus's cousin, and from his miraculous conception, had the calling to be a phenomenal difference maker, pointing others to Jesus. John the Baptist makes a difference in our lives still today by reminding us that our true mission is to influence people to follow Jesus, not to follow us, but to follow Jesus. This section starts out with an argument over ceremonial washing between John the Baptist's disciples and a certain Jew. He's not named, but many theologians believe that this certain Jew was Nicodemus. If this is true, Nicodemus is continuing his questioning and investigation. John the Baptist shuts down the argument by focusing on his devotion to Christ. He is a difference maker by rebuking division and not debating, but by just testifying to what Christ means to him. We need more difference makers like John during our current culture of division, name calling, and arguing. We need to just share with people what Jesus means to us and what he has done for us. And no one can argue with that. No one can argue with your testimony. No one can argue when they see a difference in you because of the love and the power of the Holy Spirit. That's irrefutable. Then, after that argument, John's disciples were upset, probably and most likely, possibly jealous that people were following Jesus instead of their ministry. John the Baptist's response is so beautiful, it actually made me well up. Verses 28 through 30 are worth repeating. You yourselves can testify that I said, I am not the Christ, but I am sent ahead of him. The bride belongs to the bridegroom. The friend who attends the bridegroom waits and listens for him and is full of joy when he hears the bridegroom's voice. That joy is mine, and it is now complete. He must become greater, and I must become less. Whoa. John's humility is humbling to me, and I am convicted, not condemned, but convicted by the Holy Spirit to check my willingness to decrease in importance and focus more on Christ and his kingdom and point others to that as well. John concludes this chapter by once again referring to the deity of Christ and reaffirming the central gospel message of Jesus. Whoever believes in the Son has eternal life, but whoever rejects the Son will not see life, for God's wrath remains on him. There is so much more to this chapter. I challenge you to study the definition of agape love that is referred to in John 3:16 that I'm going to end with. Investigate the story of when Moses lifted up the snake in the desert and how that relates to Jesus and the message of salvation. Meditate on the powerful words of Jesus that he came to convict and not to condemn. Study the progression of Nehemiah's faith and how Jesus flipped his ability to be a difference maker and an influencer from legalism and tradition to the true kingdom of Jesus. Ultimately, allow the Holy Spirit to reveal to you that to be a powerful difference maker, you need to recognize that Jesus is the real difference maker. Be born again and follow him and bring all things to the light. Because remember, darkness is just the absence of light. That's your first thing to be the true difference maker. Secondly, I would recommend after reading this chapter, question, study, seek, and pursue Jesus like Nicodemus did, but don't keep it in just knowledge gathering. Transform it by turning your life over to the Jesus and the Holy Spirit and allow that knowledge to be turned into a relationship. Three, point others to Jesus like John the Baptist did. Four, like John the Baptist, pray that Jesus become greater in your life and that we become less. Pray for a John 3:16 type of love to fill you so that you can become a true difference maker. Those are the five things that I received out of this chapter. But once again, there is so much in there. I would challenge you to sit at the feet of Jesus and let him to reveal to you what additional revelation he has for you. And I wanted to just end today by reading a definition of agape love. You might be familiar that in the Greek, there are actually four different words for the word love, and they describe different types of love. And agape love is the deepest form of love. And that's the love that God uses in John 3:16 that says, for God so loved the world, for God so loved you and me, for God so loved. Let's see, on this call, I can see Jane, Nicole, Doug, Christy, Joe, Mary, Valerie, Madeline, Aubrey, Tara, Dot, Melissa, Zoom user, Justin, Janet, Marion, Izzy, Jenny, Robert, Michelle, iPhone, Lisa, and the others. For God so loved you that he gave Jesus. What kind of love is that? Well, one of my most favorite devotionals, Sparkling Gems from the Greek, says, agape is a love that has no strings attached. It isn't looking for what it can get, but for what it can give. Its awe of the one who is loved is so deep that it is compelled to shower love upon the object or person, regardless of the response. This is the profound love God has for the human race, for he loved man when he was still lost in sin with no ability to love him back. God simply loved mankind without any thought or expectation of receiving love in return. When you love, and I'll add, when you are such a loving difference maker, with such a pure love that you expect nothing back in return, it is impossible for you to feel hurt or to be let down by the response of the recipients of your love. You don't love them for the purpose of getting something in return. You shower them with love simply because you love them. This kind of love is much higher than Eros love that is based on selfishness, Sturgo love that is restricted by limitations, or Phileo love that is rooted in mutual satisfaction. These three types of love are what I call low-level love, but agape is a high-level love. It is a love that has no strings attached, a love that loves simply and purely, the God kind of love. In 1 John 3:16, we are urged to possess agape for each other. It says, "Hereby perceive we the love of God, because he laid down his life for us, and we ought to lay down our lives for the brethren." This plainly means that we are to love and appreciate each other just as fully and freely as God loves us. Wow. This teaching, coupled with the sermons by Pastor Brendan and Pastor Danielle, truly point us to how to be a Jesus-loving difference maker. So may we go out today and love with that kind of love and make a difference for the kingdom. Let's close in a word of prayer. Oh, dear Heavenly Father, we just thank you for this time that we set apart, Lord, to investigate. And it's kind of ironic that it's dark out, Lord. So we just ask that all of these things that we've learned in the dark, that we would, as the sun comes up and as the sun, Jesus, works in our lives through the power of the Holy Spirit, that we would bring to light all of this knowledge and turn it into a relationship with you and a relationship with others. Fill us up with this agape, supernatural love. Allow us to be selfless and point others to Jesus like John the Baptist did. Allow us to continue to question and investigate, but to never to put that above a relationship with you, so that, Lord, we can be difference makers for your kingdom. We love you, Lord, and we want that agape love, not only for others, but most importantly for you. And we're so blessed to pray all of these things in the ultimate difference maker's name, Jesus. Amen. Have a difference making day and operate in his love. Love you all.